We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We are doing this every Tuesday. They need to come hang out with Mooch and the Misses.
That is called fascism. Okay, he is a fascist leader.
He's his own worst enemy. He's creating his own problems. You know, he's like one of those people who can't get out of their own way.
I don't want to be one of those Trump haters.
Okay,
I just want to make...
Everyone is a product of their upbringing and their personal loyalties. I'm a human being, and I probably got overtaken by the excitement of him winning.
The minute you called me to say, boom, as soon as I got that, boom, I called you right back.
Anyway, you lose the argument. All the ladies out there.
My mother's like, why are you cursing so much? I'm like, Ma, where do you think I learned it from?
We do this podcast. I go into the city. We have dinners together or we'll travel. We spend time to be together as a couple and a family and as business partners. And I feel like it really helps us.
You still love me?
I do.
Okay,
do you still love me?
Very much.
Okay. I don't know if you have, I mean, let's
very much my
there.
Liberal, hot wife.
do you feel like you're back in the 70s with that intro?
I like it.
Did you like it?
And I'm enjoying meeting
you. Oh, good. Well, we have a special guest today. Well, first of all, we have Anthony. He decided to join us for once. He's calling in from Riyadh, right? You there?
I am, yeah. Can you hear me? I just left one of the royal weddings for one of the princes here. It was unbelievable. I mean, they have a separate palace across from the king's presidential palace just for the weddings of the royal family. So the place was overwhelmingly opulent.
I'm sure it was beautiful. Lots of men, huh?
Yeah, well, that's how they do it. I mean, so they have two different weddings, one where all the men attended, and then a few weeks later the women attend the wedding. So sort of a traditional way that things go on here.
Interesting. Any music? Or I know there's no alcohol there, but was there any music?
No music. They had the ceremonial dancing with the swords. You know, if you remember when...
Oh my God, remember Trump
President
with the swords?
I'm afraid they do.
Yeah.
that was the beginning of the end.
And you can't unsee him bobbing like that with absolutely no rhythm. But
did you do any dancing or I would have paid money to see that?
No, because I'm poor. I was a guest.
Nobody asked you to dance?
A guest of honor.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody asked me to dance, no. they probably would have hit me with the sword.
You're funny. Well, okay, well, I'm glad you were able to join us for once. Just so you know, I'm going to take your half of the paycheck this week, okay?
All right. At least we're together. Introduce Steve to everybody.
So I'm going to introduce Steve. So Anthony is notorious for, I'm like the ultimate wingwoman person. So he's notorious for like inviting people places and then I'm the one that shows up. So I have like a big job. You know, those are pretty big shoes to fill, especially
like
when they're waiting for you.
When I invited a baby nurse like two months.
Yeah, that was amazing. We're talking about needing marriage counseling. So we have a 3-month-old baby. It's our first baby. Not to get like into too much, but like my dad is sick, really sick, living with us. My parents are living with us.
Mm.
My first child, Anthony literally hired this woman, never told me, a girl. I mean, it wasn't a woman. She was a college student. So one day I'm sitting and I remember this so vividly. It was like bedtime. I was putting our 3-month-old infant to sleep and I hear a doorbell. And I'm like, who the heck is that, you know? So I go down to the front door, I open it, and it's like an 18-year-old college-age student. And she says, hi, I'm here, I'm your summer help.
Mm.
And I said, oh, nice to meet you. So Anthony, unbeknownst to me, hired like a mother's helper for the summer who was going to live with us the entire summer.
And you just didn't get to interview
failed to
her.
Mention that to me. Mm. Not, I mean, I'm very easygoing, but I was like, any other person would just wring his neck right now. But I was like, come on in. So anyway, yeah, that's what he does. So that's why you and I are sitting here, and he's in Saudi Arabia. But he's very cute and handsome, so he gets away with it, right? So what?
You can keep going down that path if you want.
What about cute?
You can keep going down that path if you want.
They're very cute and handsome. Everybody knows. I don't need to go on. They see you all over the place. You're on every billboard and cable news network that exists.
Stephen, I've been low key during the impeachment. I haven't really been on the networks that heavily. I'm just letting this thing play itself out. I'm sure the two of you saw John Kelly's comments today, where he was in full and complete support of John Bolton and is recommending that they bring in a ton of witnesses. And he stopped short of saying that he himself would be a witness, but I'm sure if they called him, I think he'd be very happy to speak at this point, given the crisis that the nation is in.
Well, why don't we tell everybody who Stephen is? So we have a really special guest today. His name is Stephen Hassan, correct?
Great.
I'm very sensitive about making sure I pronounce people's names correctly because people butcher mine. Hmm. And I'm actually currently about to start his book, The Cult of Trump. I just downloaded the audio, and I have his book in my bag. But I think, Anthony, you read it already, right?
I read it, yes. Phenomenal book. Learned a lot about how people use mental manipulation and how they take their narcissistic injuries with them into life, into their adulthood, and then they try to suppress and manipulate other people in very malicious ways. And so when I first said to Howie Kurtz, Stephen, that Trump, President Trump was operating a cult, he was quite dismissive. Shortly thereafter, your book came out, and I tweeted something related to your book, and I think your assistant reached out to me. And so The Cult of Trump, written by Stephen Hassan, who has experience in cults, and I'll let you tell our listeners that story. But I think you were sucked into a cult at an early age, and so you learned a lot about it. And now you're out there and dedicated many decades of your life to helping extract and deprogram people from cults. And so with that, Stephen, why don't you tell us a little bit about your personal story and why you think the president is running a cult?
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. And of course, I saw you on social media commenting that Trump is like Jim Jones or the GOP is becoming like a cult. And I'm like, wow, cool. He's, mm-hmm. Was in the administration. And it was not my assistant. It was actually a former member, a woman who had been mind controlled by a man, actually, to the point where she was sent to jail.
Oh, Lord.
And she's working on a book and a documentary. But she's the one who reached out to you. And you responded, oh, yeah, I'm reading it. It's a great book. So I was like, hot diggity dog. I said, how do I find Anthony? And somebody then emailed me your publicist's email address. And I just said, hey, I just heard Anthony. So next thing, Anthony, you're calling me.
Yeah.
And then you came
to
Boston. And we got to meet. And I was telling your wife, I was very impressed with you as a highly trained, intelligent, educated person. And I confess I had,
pleasantly surprised, right?
Thoughts about, the mooch, because, the mooch, I'm from Queens. By the way, so I grew up 1.3 miles from Donald Trump, the other side of Union Turnpike in Jamaica States. And I was raised in a conservative Jewish home, the youngest of three, the only son. Creative writing major, and my girlfriend dumped me when I was an upper junior at Queens College, and three women asked to share my lunch table with me and pretended to be students, and they were actually recruiters for the Moonies, which I had never heard of, and I had zero interest in joining a group, much less a cult. But I wound up dropping out of college, quitting my job, donating my bank account, cutting off from my family, believing the Holocaust was necessary, even though I had been educated about the Holocaust as a Jew, been to Israel and did an archaeological dig at Tel Beersheba. But I became a different person, and I became a right-wing fascist who thought that democracy was satanic, and Moon talked about taking over the government and creating a theocracy. And I was one of the top leaders that was being groomed to help him take over. And fortunately, I fell asleep at the wheel of a Mooney van and drove into the back of a tractor-trailer truck at 80 miles an hour, which resulted in me reaching out to my sister after 2 weeks away from the cult in the hospital. And that led to a deprogramming.
So you snapped out of it in the hospital, sort of?
No, I snapped out enough to call my sister, who I was very close with, mm-hmm. to tell her I was in the hospital, and she's like, "I miss you. You have
a nephew. Had they been trying to reach out to you?
I want him to know his Uncle Stevie. Come and visit." And she just touched my heart, and I arranged a visit. Mm-hmm. And I made her promise not to tell my parents, because they were evil and satanic, because they had called it a cult. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in my sister's living room, and my father arrives and takes my crutches and puts them on the other side of the room. And he says,
You're not going anywhere.
I want you to talk to some ex-members, Steve. And I was so angry. But the long story short is that I wanted to prove to my family I wasn't brainwashed. So I agreed to talk for 5 days, at which point my father promised to drive me back. And on the fifth day, I had my awakening where I realized Moon was a liar. He's mm-hmm. not trustworthy, mm-hmm. that I had projected all of this faith and belief that he was a great man who was going to save all the world's problems. And part of my realization was learning about Chinese communist brainwashing techniques and realizing that the family, the group that I was in, was doing all the same things as the Chinese communists, which the Chinese are still doing, by the way, just with high tech in addition now. But I wanted to understand how this had happened to me. I was an educated, intelligent, middle class person. Mm-hmm. And I started.
So basically, this could happen to anybody, right?
Well, that's what I've come to learn. I've become a mental health professional. I've been helping people for 40 plus years. Exit everything from pimps and traffickers to extremist groups to religious cults to pyramid scheme cults to channeling cults, large group awareness training. And what I want to say to your listeners is that, we're human beings. We're not perfect, and we have five senses, and we're socialized from birth. So we are influenced from the outside, and people walking around thinking, "Oh, I'm too smart. It would never happen to me." They're the ones who are most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. The people who are like human and go, "You know what? I can be tricked. I can be lied to. I can be taken in by a narcissist who's flattering me and saying you're the most special person I've ever met, and I feel like we're soul partners and other kinds of things like that." And I've studied hypnosis, I've studied social psychology, clinical psychology, and I've developed an approach working with family members and friends, kind of guiding them and teaching them and guiding them how to interact with a cult member. The goal is to ethically influence them to start thinking again, mm-hmm. and to get in touch with their actual feelings and their conscience. And I also help people recover who've been, some of them are born into a cult and they come out and they're like, "Who am I?" And
yeah.
Like, what do I do now?
Right.
So I help people like get a life and teach them basic skills. And so it's been an interesting thing. And then Anthony, when my agent in 2018 said, "I want you to write a book called The Cult of Trump," I was like, "I don't do political books, but I did do this interview for Salon about how Trump fits the stereotypical profile of cult leaders, which is malignant narcissism." And he said, I think you really need to do this. And I said, I thought about it, and I felt like, you know what?
Compelled to do it,
who
right?
Who else is going to do it if I don't do it?
Right.
Who has the nerve? Mm-hmm. I've taken on Scientology. Mm-hmm. I've taken on the Moonies. I've taken on so many powerful, wealthy things. And I love freedom. Like, I am a survivor of a totalitarian, authoritarian political cult. And what we're dealing with right now is a series of different political as well as religious cults that are obsessed around this administration doing damage to all of our institutions, all of our checks and balances, the rule of law. And I guess, Anthony and Deirdre, mm-hmm. I want to say, you know, for me to listen to Mitch McConnell or to listen to other senators talking the way they've been talking, spinning the narrative, much of which I think is Putin narrative, even though they've taken an oath to be an impartial juror and to honor their conscience and to honor the Constitution, but they're spinning such obvious lies, it reminded me of being in the Moonies.
So do they know that they're doing that, or do they not even know that they're doing that?
So if it's like my experience in the Moonies, you know that you're doing it, but it's all justified in your head.
So you have a million reasons why this is okay.
In the Moonies, for example, so I was raised the right way. I didn't tell lies. Mm-hmm. you didn't steal from people. You didn't do to other people what you didn't want done to you. But in the Moonies, I was taught to, like, I had to overcome my conscience because that was my fallen nature. I had to take God's perspective. And God is suffering. God wants to take over the world and make it perfect again. So everybody outside the group is influenced by Satan. And we are the holy ones with the sinless Messiah that we're following. And therefore, we could break laws. It wasn't breaking laws.
Because it was
following
in the name of
God.
Goodness. Right.
It was following God and following the perfect man. And when you're in a mind control group also, you're taught to do thought stopping on yourself to shut down any negative thought or feeling. And one really interesting thing when I started researching this book was understanding that Donald Trump was actually raised in a cultish group of Norman Vincent Peale, who taught the power of positive thinking, mm-hmm. which is the essence of all these prosperity ministers who say, you know, if you pray 100% to believe God's going to bless you, then it's going to manifest. And if you have a doubt, then it won't manifest. And this kind of mindset of that you have control and any question or doubt is a sin. This is what Donald Trump was raised on. So people saying, how can so many bad things happen and it doesn't bother him? Because he does thought stopping. Mm-hmm. He's been trained as a child to do thought stopping. Another technique that cults all do is using a language system, what's called loaded language, where shuts down critical. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You're thinking in their terms. Mm-hmm. Like Hubbard, the head of Scientology, had actual dictionaries of terms he made up. And he would tell people they have to, like, memorize his words and his definitions. And by the time that they get through with that, they're total Scientologists. They're no longer able to realize that he was a hypnotist, he was an occult figure, and that he was abusing everybody and taking advantage of power, money, and sex mm-hmm. as the three universals of cult leaders.
I want to push back a little because I get pushed back on, Stephen. I'm just curious how you would react to this. So when I read your book and I went through the checklist of cult-like behavior, disavow of the news, don't believe the news, don't believe anybody other than me, I'm the last stand. I mean, Trump is trying to position himself alongside some of his friends in the media that he's the last stand for white America, and that the latte-drinking transvestites are on the way, and he's the finger in the dike with Bill Barr preventing them from entering the political landscape. And so when I mention that he's a cult leader, I get pushed back very hard. You're being ridiculous. That's an exaggeration,
yeah,
et cetera. I'm sure that that's also happened to you. Mm-hmm. And so then how do you clinically rebut that? What are some of the things that you would say? Yes, I know he's the president of the United States, so therefore it's hard to believe. One last point, because he's the president and we learned so much about the presidency and he's the successor of Abraham Lincoln, we're hyper-normalizing all the gaslighting. We're sort of, well, he can't be that nuts because he's president. So I said a lot, but I'm interested in your reaction to all of it.
I just want to say one thing before he answers. So I had this conversation. I was telling Steve on the way over here with my mom in the car. I was talking with her on the phone, and I wish I had you. I'm going to make her listen to this because she had an answer for every single thing, and I just gave up on the conversation because it wasn't worth it at that point. But everything I said, she was telling me I was ridiculous, and she's blaming everything on the mainstream media. Well, mm-hmm. they never gave him a fair shot. Everything he says is rebutted. They come at him and they attack him at every angle, and social media is just picking him apart. You know, she was going back to John F. Kennedy. You don't think he had a ton of mistresses, and if there's anyone you should feel bad for, it's not Melania, it would be Jackie Kennedy, and all of this stuff, right? And I didn't have a clinical rebuttal. You know, I just said, okay, Mom, fine. But what would be like a response to somebody who just really believes he's a victim?
So there's a couple of pieces. So Anthony was asking, how do I respond to this? And then, Deirdre, you're asking me about your mom. So let me just split it into two mm-hmm. answers. So when you're in a mind control cult, you don't think you're in a cult. You may think other groups are cults, right? So,
but it's obviously playing on people's emotions. Like there's something
absolutely.
That he taps into, like that my mom or whoever's identifying with, where they think that he has their best interest at heart, right? So isn't that where this all stems from?
So it's complex, and in my book, I talk about many different types of people who become followers of Trump, but not everyone is like brainwashed.
Right.
The ones that think God is using him and
right,
Satan
that he's the chosen
gonna,
one.
Yeah.
yeah.
Those
no, my mom is not.
are, those folks are yeah. in the New Apostolic Reformation or a group called The Family. Michael Pence is in that cult, or Opus Dei. William Barr is involved with that
But
Catholic.
What's this new woman he has as like his political consultant? Is she
Paula
cultish?
White is New Apostolic Reformation, yes.
Okay.
Yes, she, in my opinion, she is. But a lot of people are just Republicans, or a lot of people just, it's where they are getting their media sources from, and they trust either their congressman or their senator if they're Republican, or they're trusting Fox or Breitbart or et cetera. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've been studying this for 40 plus years. I have many colleagues who are also former cult members who become mental health professionals. So in this book, I have 472 references, mm-hmm. and the criteria are the criteria. Where it gets surreal is what Anthony was saying, is that the office of the presidency in and of itself is cultish. Mm-hmm. Like the power mm-hmm. that's concentrated in that office is so high. However, in the past, we've had people who basically had a respect for the law, respect for the Constitution.
Basic common decency, human decency.
Checks and balances, and listen to the ethics branch, who would say, no, you have to sell your business interests so that you don't have...
Period, the end.
Right?
Conflicts, right.
So, in other words, there needs to be always... checks and balances and reality testing in order to have a healthy environment, and especially where there's so much concentrated power. But I make my case briefly that Trump has a stereotypical profile of cult leaders, which is malignant narcissism, which includes the grandiosity, the fantasies of power, the need for praise and admiration, the sense of entitlement, the lack of empathy, be able to step into someone else's shoes, the lying, the antisocial behavior, the harassment and sadism, paranoia. So you go down the checklist, and in my book, I compare him with these other cult leaders. So there's like, no one has said, no, he doesn't have these qualities, because I quote literal lines of his own behavior. Mm-hmm. Then I talk about the influence continuum from ethical influence to unethical influence, and how to tell the difference between an ethical, charismatic figure that has a devoted following and a mind control cult. And essentially, I have something called the BITE model that stands for control of behavior for the B, Control of information is the I, control of thinking is the T, and control of emotions is the E. And I say the more any group or relationship has control of those four overlapping variables with the goal of making a person dependent and obedient or loyal, the more destructive mind control it is, because you're shifting a person over to an external locus of control with the cult or with the cult leader versus following your conscience, trusting your gut, using your own ability to critically think and look at the evidence for yourself, right? And if you're in an environment where you're being told anything that's negative against the leader, the doctrine, or the group is evil, or it's fake news, or it's propaganda, you're shutting down that ability to reality test. Because the truth is that we need checks and balances for figuring out what's true.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So what's the argument when people say, but no, that's what the leftist mainstream media is doing to the right or to the people, when they say that they're essentially, people try to argue that they're trying to control everyone's frame of mind.
So well, now we talked to part two of, which is you and your mom.
Right.
Right. So what I want to say is that you can't argue logic with someone in a mind control cult. And anyone
right.
who's trying to win an argument is going about it the wrong way, because ultimately the cult member is going to feel persecuted, or they're going to feel like you just, you know, yourself are brainwashed or mind control, and you'll want to cut off contact because it'll be so frustrating for both of you. And what I do is I teach my clients how to understand what is a cult, what is mind control, and to how to talk strategically with the goal of asking questions in a respectful way that makes the person stop and think.
Mm-hmm.
And what I talk about is rapport and trust building as the foundational thing, which is like finding common ground, remembering positive experiences between you and your mom when you were simpatico,
right.
so to speak, right? And then through a process of curiosity, help me understand, Mom. Help me step into your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Where you listen to her and then you repeat back to her what she's saying till she goes, yup, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can ask her, can you do me now? And that will be like, what?
Yeah, because
right?
normally when you're in a conversation where you have differing opinions, you're not listening, you're just talking.
Are you curious, Mom, how I think the way I think?
Mm-hmm.
But it's done with love, it's done with respect, it's done with patience. You're not trying to do this in all in one conversation. But one of the Achilles heels with all mind control cults is that, you know, you can't think negative thoughts about the one you're in, but it's easy to see another one out there. So in the Moonies, it was clear Scientology was a cult, or the Krishnas were a cult, or the Children of God was a cult. And so you find something, and for me, my conversations with Trump people, they're always interested in Chinese communist brainwashing, which is the work that was used to deprogram me, and the work of Robert J. Lifton, Margaret Singer, Louis West, Edgar Schein, who are all military intelligence people in the 50s studying communist brainwashing, going through the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this fascinating?
Mm-hmm.
This is what brainwashing is.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? And then talking about traffickers, that's another topic that most Trump people, and the folks in QAnon actually believe Donald Trump is going to end sex trafficking in the world. That's
they
part
do?
Of their belief system.
Okay. Interesting.
So
I didn't know
learn
that. Did you know that, Anthony?
Learn pimp mind control.
Did you know that about QAnon and the trafficking?
Yeah, I I did because I read the book, but
before that, I didn't.
Well, they believe in the Illuminati, and they believe, you know, there's all kinds of other, you know, UFOs and all kinds of other things that are sprinkled in. My point is that the goal is love is stronger than mind control, and truth is stronger than lies. And if you take the position of, hey, I really want to understand you, I want to make sense of this. If you have the evidence, I need to switch to your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And by presupposition, people are thinking, well, maybe I need to change my point of view also. Another technique that I teach is asking people to go back in time before they met the cult. And who were they? And what were their values? And if you think about some of the people like Lindsey Graham,
that's the beauty of video and historical videos. It's like, have you seen yourself from 1980 or no?
But when you say it that way, it makes them defensive and it makes them turn off.
Right. So that's it.
But if you're doing it again from a respectful point of view, going, tell me, go back in time. This is what you thought. Tell me, walk me through slowly how you came from that point of view to where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is that.
By the way, I would be so curious to hear their answers because. How could there's such a disparity between what we've seen and what we are now hearing in some of these cases like Lindsey Graham? So I would love to hear their response. I don't even know if they've ever even thought about it.
So
I think people minimalize it now and they say, oh, they're trying to keep their job.
Well, I think that there's an element of truth to that. But I think that the Trump has created such an atmosphere of fear.
But fear over what? Losing your job?
Fear of losing your job.
He's not going to kill you. What's he going to do?
Well, there's a lot of implied threats that are coming out of the Twitter feed and out of his mouth. And if you interview
people... But don't you think he's just a big bully?
I personally do,
right, like, do you think he really has the gumption to really ever, like, face someone in a fight? I feel like he's just, like, an electronic
one-on-one?
Bully.
One-on-one?
Yeah.
I think he's very obese, and he might die of a heart attack if he tried to fight with me. I mean, I was trained in martial arts, so he can fight me.
No, but they're basically empty threats from, like, a schoolyard bully. In my opinion,
honestly, if you listen to him and you think of him in diapers,
he's like the big boss baby,
like Hubbard in diapers, Moon in diapers. It takes all of the charisma out of the imagery.
And
of
I've
the
seen
grandiosity.
Many images of him and the cartoon and otherwise of him in diapers.
Yeah,
we all have, right?
Right. But coming back to the very real problem that we have, which is so many people have been indoctrinated into a black and white, all or nothing, good versus evil mindset where they're not willing to look at evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are over 1,000 former DOJ prosecutors who've signed a document saying in the Mueller report he was guilty of obstruction and should be have criminal charges.
And that doesn't go anywhere?
Because Barr, who's involved with Opus Dei...
He's literally barring all of the
he
info.
He gave a lie. And this is, again, if you believe in God, that God's truth is more important than man's truth... You know, and this is the ends justify the means because these secularists and these gays are going to take over. We need to to save all the unborn children. We have to do. We have to lie to the American public, even though he's the highest law enforcement official in the United States. But coming back to evidence, there's evidence. Mm-hmm. I read the Mueller report. There's a lot of evidence in there. And yet the spin is such to the point where people don't even want to... The House,
but so you consider yourself to be an objective person?
No.
In life?
No.
No?
I wouldn't. One thing, I'm in a doctoral program also. And one of the first things that we were taught is to realize everybody's biased.
Mm-hmm.
The key thing is understanding what are your biases. Being transparent with your biases. I'm biased. I'm a middle-class Jewish 65-year-old who is in a mind control cult and who has now worked with thousands of people who've been in mind control situations. And I'm a human rights advocate, so I see things from that lens. Like, I still have idealistic opinions about how the world should be, and not just, you know what, everybody's corrupt, you know, so why don't we just keep going the way we are right now? It's like, no, let's think about, you know, how do we want to model for our children?
So you're not black and white, but you have biases. That's basically most people's scenario.
I don't think I have any. I mean, I have the ability, and I do. I can hold 10 different paradigms simultaneously in my head, mm-hmm. and say, you know what? I think one of those 10, I'm more, you know, I'm 60% on, but it could be the other ones too. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like I need to have one answer for anything. But I know a lie. If you say 2 + 2 = 5, I can say,
right,
no,
you know,
it's not.
Right.
But I want to share very briefly, if I may, a very famous social psychology experiment that's really important. I use it in my cases all the time. It's an experiment by Solomon Asch, A-S-C-H, and you can look it up on YouTube. It's called the Asch Conformity Study. And briefly... somebody's in the front of the room with a placard with a line and then three sample lines of different sizes. And there's either 6 to 10 people in the room. And you go around the room saying which of the three lines are the same size as the sample size line. Only the person who is the participant doesn't know everyone else is in on it. And everybody gives the correct answer twice, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and then they all start giving the wrong answer. And the purpose of the study was to say, even though you can see with your own eyes what the correct answer is, how many people will start answering the wrong answer? And this test has been repeated tens of thousands of times. Do you want to take a guess how many people start giving the wrong answer?
Percentage-wise?
Yeah.
90?
Not quite that high.
Okay.
2/3.
Okay.
So
that's a lot of people.
A fundamental aspect of social psychology, and that we, when we're in a group of people that we respect or we identify with, and they're all saying a 3-inch line is a 2-inch line, 2/3 will just give in and do what everyone else is doing. Even though in their head they're going, that doesn't look like that to me. Mm-hmm. But if they seem so confident,
right,
there must be something wrong with me.
Right.
And nobody gets up and measures it, which is what I tell everybody is, if you're ever confronted in a confusing situation, always look for a reality testing strategy.
That's such a good piece of advice.
But I was talking about groupthink on my Twitter feed. In terms of the Senate, and it's where people are like looking at the evidence, but there are certain leaders in the room saying, no, but the 3-inch line is the 2-inch line, and nobody's getting up to measure it.
Yeah, see, but their argument is go ahead, hon, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I want to hear what you have to say. I miss your voice. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask a question that I think Stephen has dealt with as a deprogrammer before. So what the cult leader does a very good job of is anything in dissent goes into the cacophony of drowning voices of never Trumper, Trump derangement.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. They all say we're triggered. Yeah.
Right. How do you break through? So, you know, I recognize that the length of the line is 2 inches. The other people are trying to say that it's 3 inches. The emperor does have no clothes. But the emperor's done a very good job of telling you, well, anybody that says I don't have clothes on has ocular nerve damage to their eyeballs. So, how do you break through? How do you rise above that?
So teaching social psychology
that he's very successful at creating.
Yeah, I'm like teaching social psychology, and even with the people that are called heroic resistors, the one that keeps giving the correct answer, even though they're in the minority, they're cringing when they're giving the right answer. They get quieter and quieter. But the answer for me is get up and measure it.
Mm-hmm.
and then if they keep insisting that a 3-inch line is a 2, leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so I want to also come back to, and then we can go anywhere you want. The number one technique, if you want to mind control someone, is to confuse them. That's the number one.
Well,
confusion.
I think we're all walking around pretty confused.
Exactly.
I know I am.
Exactly. So when somebody will congruently lie to you and repeat it over and over again, and they're in a position of respected authority, as Donald Trump is.
Right. It doesn't make sense.
People get confused. Mm-hmm. And then they start doing all these mental gymnastics of rationalization, justification, wishful thinking. Well, he's the president. He must know stuff that we don't know. And it will all become apparent soon,
mm-hmm.
except that the evidence is the evidence. Right. And you're not going to, you know, make orange juice out of
lemons.
I was going to think of something more
appropriate.
Disgusting.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Yeah. Well, orange was the right color. Very appropriate. Right, Aunt? The orange maniac?
The real nickname is the orange Tic Tac.
Oh, orange Tic Tac. Orange Tic Tac. Oh, yes.
We'll leave everybody with that visual.
Yeah. What I would love is for people to get out of just the word cult and to drill down deeper into like the bite model. Where people, like, think about how many Americans are sleep deprived, right? It's
most.
One of the most researched mind control techniques is sleep deprivation. In the Moonies, I was sleeping 3 to 4 hours a night.
That's probably why you crashed the van.
I didn't sleep for 3 days before I crashed the van, so I was absolutely sleep deprived. But the point is your brain is not capable of cognitive processing, ideal cognitive processing. If you're sleeping 5 hours or 6 hours, you need 7 to 9 hours. Mm-hmm. That the average person needs. Some people need more than 9 hours. So that's one.
Anthony,
universal.
Imagine the things you could do if you actually slept. You'd be like a for reals genius.
Right, but
I gotta tell you. You know, especially on a trip like this, you lose your concentration quickly. You know, I only slept 2 hours last night. I was so jet lagged.
Yeah.
So I totally get it.
Yeah, and I confess that I didn't sleep well last night coming down to New York. But in any case, I wanna emphasize another key thing, which is phobia indoctrination, the use of irrational fear in order to manipulate people and get them to believe in this totalist belief system and in the charismatic figure. So in the Moonies, to use a personal example, Moon actually bussed a group of, we took vans, to see the Exorcist movie in 1974. And then he proceeded to give a lecture to us about how God made this movie. And this movie was a prophecy of what would happen to us if we left the church. And as someone who didn't believe in Satan or in evil spirits 2 months prior, I was afraid of my own thoughts. I was afraid of demons and evil spirits and what I had seen in this movie. And the 10 plus million Americans in the New Apostolic Reformation literally believe in demons, and that if they doubt that one of these demons is going to be possessing them, mm-hmm. and they're going to need an exorcism,
mm-hmm.
to get out of it. People, you know, for me, understanding the difference between a legitimate fear and an irrational fear is crucial, because you know, real fear is something that's really dangerous. You want to be protective of yourself or take dramatic action, but an irrational fear. So when I describe, for example, someone who has a phobia of elevators.
Oh, I do.
I can fix that.
Oh, I would love. Okay, then you can help
fast.
Me fix flying too.
No, so if you have a phobia of elevators,
uh-huh.
you can't imagine riding safely and comfortably. You can only imagine being
myself
stuck
plummeting.
For eternity,
right.
or plummeting.
Right.
So one needs to change the movie in your mind and see yourself over and over going through the behavioral steps of going up to the elevator, pressing the button, getting in, the door closing, going up, coming out safely, going, huh, that was convenient. Mm-hmm. How pleasant. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you had a traumatic experience. So we would need to redo that first. But the thing is that we should control our own minds. We shouldn't be controlled by our fears. We shouldn't be controlled by our thoughts. And we should exercise our autonomy as adult human beings. And if you want to fly or if you want to be in elevators, it doesn't take a lot of time to understand the techniques of how to free yourself from that.
Oh, I like this conversation. I'm going to have a post-podcast therapy session.
But people who are Trump true believers, they have it in their mind.
Work on the flying too, Steve. You got to work on the flying.
Yeah, you have to work on the flying with me.
No problem. It's really a variation of it.
But so what do the Trump followers believe is going to happen to them? Like, again, this goes so back to what matters to them. They want to be the only white people in the country. They want to be
transvestites.
It could be that they fear immigrants going to rape their children, or you know, there's these dramatic images that Trump has generated over several years, repeated them over and over. That's another mind control technique: repetition.
Yeah.
Confusion, repetition, projection is another mind control technique. Oh, they're trying to start a coup when he's the one who's trying to do a coup, right? They're breaking the law when he's the one who's breaking the law. Once you understand these techniques, it demystifies the confusion. You go, oh, now we have a paradigm mm-hmm. that actually matches what the data is. And the good news is people wake up from mind control cults. Why? Because they don't work. Because the leader isn't great, their lies get exposed,
right.
And there are some people who are heroic resistors, like your husband, who are like, you know what, I did believe it, but now
I measured the line.
I measured the lines, right. And I have enough self-esteem and enough integrity and enough smarts, mm-hmm. intelligence to say the truth. Mm-hmm. And yes, people are going to give, you know, you can't call them a cult. And no, but if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and has feathers like a duck, mm-hmm. at a certain point you say, you know what, it's a duck.
Right. I know. People just think that's extreme.
But how do you create, not to interrupt one, but how do you create the off-ramp?
So, question.
So, I was able to break myself, but other people, they feel humiliated, or they feel like they're letting themselves down, or they feel like that they're not quote unquote loyal. Like one of the integrity traits that people, when they self-evaluate themselves, that they're very loyal people. Trump preys on that, even though he's not a loyal person. He wants to engender your loyalty,
right?
And so you're like, okay, geez, I can't disavow him because then I'm a bad guy and I'm not loyal.
Yep.
Meanwhile, he's the biggest asshole that's ever lived. So, but how do you get that person not to feel humiliated? And how do you get them comfortable with the off-ramp?
Because,
off-ramp is the perfect word.
People have said to me, what the hell? He's the same person that he was in 2015 that he is in 2020. And so what's the big deal? And hold on. I'm not the same person. He may be the same person.
I think he's deteriorating. I really do. So listen, I really respect and admire you, because to me, you're one of the few people who had been in the administration who has exited and hasn't forgotten about what your experience was, and who genuinely cares about the country and the Constitution and wanting to help other people get out. I don't agree strategically. As much as I know Rick Wilson loved my book, I think, you know, belittling, attacking is the wrong strategy for creating, as you said, an off-ramp. And so for me, what I say to my clients is, look, if you think back to before you got recruited or before you got programmed, right, and knowing what you know now, if you're honest with yourself, if you go back in time, what did you think was going to happen if you got involved with the group or voted, whatever, Would you do the same thing, knowing what you know now? An honest person will go, actually, I wouldn't do the same thing. I wouldn't say yes to those women flirting with me, because I'd say, you're the Moonies. You're lying. I have no interest in cutting off from my family or dropping out of school and becoming a fascist. Get lost, right? So the key is face-saving, you know, exiting. And the key to face-saving is realizing we're human beings. I did get deceived. I did get manipulated. I was exposed to a lot of indoctrination through my smartphone, through my TV watching, through my Facebook feeds or my Twitter feeds or whatever. But now I know more. And if anyone reads Combating Cult Mind Control, for example, which has nothing about Trump, and learn about the Moonies, learn about the Krishnas, the Children of God, Scientology, once you get that paradigm under your belt, it becomes really easy to go, wait a minute, this really fits the profile, and this is not healthy.
It's like the cheesy saying, knowledge is power, but the more you know about it, the easier it is to see it clearly.
Exactly, yeah. Deirdre. And it's your mind, and only you should control it.
Right.
You know?
That's very true. But I don't know. Anthony, I think you're the only one, probably. I was trying to sit here and think.
That means that Nick and James don't control your mind, huh? Did you hear what Stephen said?
Oh, no. They don't control my mind, but they...
Are those your kids?
Yes. But they do control my every waking moment, but not
it's
my mind.
It's called parenthood.
Yes, exactly.
It's called mommyhood.
Yeah, they sleep deprive me. So then when they say, we need lollipops, I believe them.
That's mind control device. Oh, honestly, gosh. I think the sleep deprivation.
You're in the cult of lollipops.
It does create a bonding. And the oxytocin, you know, all the love, trust hormones that are going off. But seriously, I mean, honestly, we have to... Think of our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, and we have to start making better, wiser choices about technology, about the climate, upholding human rights. And I just watched a horrifying documentary on Netflix called One Child Nation.
About China?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all those poor people whose children were taken from them because the government policy was that you can't have more than one child. And children were being abandoned on the street and then later trafficked.
No, I mean, I was thinking about it this morning because they had somebody on the Today Show talking. He was a Holocaust survivor. And
75 years from Auschwitz.
And I'm thinking, how is it possible that people think it's okay to treat other people like that? That's insane. But it happens all the time, whether it's that, whether it's the Chinese one-child policy or whatever it is. Nobody should ever have that much control over your life. Like you said, you're an autonomous adult. How dare they? How
exactly.
dare they? And you're right. People need to really stop and think about where this whole thing is going.
And I want to just say I did a chapter for a psychiatry textbook called Islamophobia and Psychiatry, and I talked about it. And a bunch of Trumpers are like, Islam is trying to take over the world. This is a culture war with Judeo-Christianity and such. And I'm like, there are Muslim cults that are programming people to be suicide bombers and to hate Americans and to hate Israel. There's no doubt about it. But the vast number of Muslims are peace-loving, good, kind people that it's not an all or nothing. And it's not my religion over your religion. We all need to live together on planet Earth.
Coexist.
And understand. And so here's another thing, Anthony, that I use in my religious cults toolbox. And that is the Abrahamic religions, right? Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Yep. They all share the same story of the Garden of Eden, right? And the Garden of Eden story is God, you know, said don't eat, but they did, right? So Almighty God, who knows everything, right, did a creation and made human beings capable of making their own decisions and not following blindly or not being mind controlled. Think about it. God could have mind controlled Adam and Eve and made them into slaves, right? But God didn't. So it tells us
it's a very powerful story. If you are religious, and many of these people are, you're endowed by the Creator with the free thought. You've been given that endowment to do, if you believe in the Creator and the unconditional love of the Creator or the universe, you've been endowed with this freedom.
Right.
And you shouldn't subject it to anybody else.
And follow out of faith and out of love, right? Not out of coercion or fear. Right. Or control of the media. Mm-hmm. This is not... So there are Jewish cults, there are Christian-esque cults and Jewish-esque cults and Muslim-esque cults, and there are atheist cults and Buddhist cults that do violence. But you know what? All the great religious teachings are about love. Love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love others as you love yourself. That's my understanding.
That's a funny thing, just as an aside, because Anthony, I always talk about it, and social media just brings it to an absolute head. But a lot of times he and I get attacked on social media. And when he was a Trump guy, it was mostly leftist, whatever. And now it's these right-wing people that are attacking us. But whenever I look, I laugh on both sides of the coin, because the lefty will say, oh, you know, peace, love, and harmony, and coexist, and they're like, you're a bitch, I hope you die, and your kids like rot in hell, you know?
Left cults and right cults.
No, but I just laugh because they preach all of this stuff, but when it comes down to it actually exercising those things, they have absolutely no bid for it. Same with the right-wing people. You know, every time I get a nasty note from somebody, I look on their, you know, little profile, and it says who they are, and it says, like, Christian, God-fearing, God-loving.
Right.
And I'm like, you just told me that I'm like a two-bit whore, but you're God, you know, you're God's child. It's a crazy phenomenon.
Yeah. Well, and going back to the essence, like Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But in the Cult of Trump book, I talk about these groups, New Apostolic and the Family and Opus Dei, that want to control the government. They want dominion of the earth.
Right.
But Jesus said, it's not of this world.
Right.
Jesus said, as you do unto the least in my kingdom, you do unto me. But they're like, leave those beggars, you know, don't give them food. Don't give them a blanket.
Right.
They've had a hurricane and they have nothing. Why help them?
Yeah. It's just the hypocrisy.
Let's help the elites and the billionaires.
It's crazy. So... I don't know. Here we are again. This is what plays in our mind.
So, Anthony, we need to magnify your voice and your position to you know, like you say, create an off-ramp where there's face-saving, where people realize, hey, we're human beings, we're all Americans, and let's be aspirational. Right.
But Anthony always gives a great example. And I'm a woman, so I always think about it differently. So he always uses it in the context of business. Like he says, well, if I hired you and I thought you were going to be an amazing employee, and then a year or two later you suck, I'm going to fire you. And that doesn't mean, you know, I wasn't the same guy that hired you. I still am. But you've proven not to be the guy for the job or the girl for the job. And it's the same when I always think about people in personal relationships, like 50% divorce rate. I mean, a marriage couldn't be more intimate, right? That's like the person you're choosing to be with for the rest of your life. A lot of people decide they don't want to be in that relationship anymore. So you can't go from being someone who supported the president, was an advocate or a surrogate for the president, to someone who decided, hey, I'm not on board, I don't like it anymore. It's 3 years later. You're allowed to do that.
Right.
But he's got people convinced that you're not, because if you said that you were, then you have to be. And so this is why we should all point everybody to your Twitter feed.
Well, thank you. Seriously, there are a lot of mind control cults out there that are other than political cults. And I think in this day and age, everyone needs to learn how the mind works, the difference between ethical and unethical influence, how to reality test, and how to build a circle of trust with people who you know have your back, mm-hmm. where you can say, hey, honey, I just went to this website. They're promising all these great things. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. And if she tells you or he tells you it's not great things, you should consider they're saying.
I just did a search, and right. I found out that the person has been in jail 13 times for fraud.
Right.
It's like, I don't think we want to trust that
right.
person.
Exactly. So going back to your social media, so if people wanted to follow you and find you or contact you, how would they go about doing that?
So my Twitter feed is Cult Expert. And
if they search your name on Twitter, will it come up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you Google Cult of Trump, my book should come up.
Yep.
And I'm hoping people will actually read it. And if you're short on cash, go to your library and take out a hardback or an ebook or an audio.
Or call me. When I'm done reading it, I'll mail it to you.
Okay. Deirdre's making an offer.
Because I just downloaded the audio book, too. So I
read the audio book, and people say they really like that it's me.
You have a nice, calming voice and energy,
thank
too.
You.
So, okay. So we're going
to
look you up on social.
Go up and down the elevator.
Yes, he's going to convince me to be able to ride an elevator.
It's all about breathing. It's all about using your frontal cortex, the front part of your brain where you're thinking. And you know modern elevators have emergency stops, so you can't plummet. You have cell phones as well as call buttons, so you can't be stuck forever.
Yeah, I know.
So once you know that intellectually.
I know all those things.
Right. So the rest is rehearsal, my dear, or what's called in vivo desensitization. Just exposing yourself over and breathing while you do it instead of doing the automatic script of, oh, no, it's an elevator. I'm really worried. Oh, no, I'm going to fall any moment. And you change the voice. Oh, a modern elevator. And you can think of me if you want. Steve Hassan said the modern elevators have emergency stops and it's impossible to plummet.
All right. So when we wrap the podcast, he's going to do planes with me. And so we're going to go. I'm going to go do that. So
go on vacation soon.
I do
right, guys,
travel a lot. I still am crazy. All right. Well,
all
be
right,
safe
guys.
Traveling.
Thank you, Stephen. That was fascinating.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for being here. That was amazing.
Yep.
Steve Hassan, Cult of Trump.
Thank you. And thanks, Anthony, for your support.
That was really interesting. Loved it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.